When they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So the title of my sermon today is, "You Have to Get Out of the Boat." And the reason I chose that, and I hope you don't get bored with me saying it so many times, but anyway, that's the most important part of the message. The story of Jesus walking on water is told in 3 of the 4 Gospels. However, Matthew is the only one that records the story of Peter walking on water. Now, most of the time when I've heard this story told, the emphasis is on Peter, who finds himself sinking because of his lack of faith, which causes him to doubt Jesus. However, if we only focus on the moment that Peter sinks, we miss the most promising part of this story. We miss the whole story. So let us, for a moment, focus on the promise rather than the failure. So Peter walks on water, just like Jesus, but sinks after a few steps. But here's the point. He did it. He actually got out of the boat and walked on water. Imagine how he felt as he stepped out of the boat to find a firm foundation beneath his feet. It took a lot of faith to leave the safety of that boat and step over the side. I would imagine, though, it must have been exhilarating. The closest I've ever come to walking on water is riding on a glass-bottom boat. Has anybody ever done that? It's pretty cool, isn't it? It's surreal to look down into the water and see the bottom of the lake, yet you're standing in the boat. But it gives you a sense of maybe what walking on water might feel like. I have to tell you a story. When I was a child, my family used to do a lot of water skiing. I lived in Virginia. And the water we skied in was brackish water. And it was known to have water moccasins in it. And so this one time, my father and I were riding in the boat, and my sister Janet was skiing behind the boat. And all of a sudden, Janet started screaming to the top of her lungs. And my dad was so startled, he stopped the boat and turned around. And by the time he got the boat turned around, my sister was climbing on the back of the boat. And the reason she was climbing in the back of a boat is because the water moccasin had wrapped around her ski, and she didn't want to take any chances of that water moccasin catching up on her. So I don't know if she walked on water, but I do know that she got there extremely fast. That was hard for all of us to realize. So you have to realize that after that, and I was water skiing, I never wanted to at least fall, because I think there was more of a chance to find a water moccasin if you actually fell in the water than at one wrapping around your skis. So here's the question I think we should ask ourselves. How many times in our lives have we had faith to start something, but then things don't go as expected, or things get rough and we start to sink into disappointment? But what if our faith gave us courage to at least try? As fear rose in Peter's heart, you might say his faith sank. Peter, the man whose name means rock, literally it means rock, because of his potential for steadiness, began to sink like a stone because of wavering faith. Now, Peter may have been an able swimmer. We don't know that. Nothing in Scripture tells us that. But he did not rely on that ability now. However, here's the point, and I can't express this enough. He tried. He made an effort. And that was a good start. I think the great failure in this story is the other disciples who sat huddled in the boat, wondering if they had seen a ghost. At least Peter recognized Jesus And even though he lost faith after a few steps, he came when Jesus said, come. Peter and the disciples got back to shore, but only Peter walked on water. How much would we miss if we only remembered that Peter sank? This, my friends, I believe, is a passage of promise. If you respond in faith to the call of God, you can walk on water, so to speak. So, what is the lesson for us? If you want to walk on water, you have to get out of the boat, right? When God called me into ministry, it was shortly after retiring from social services. And if you know anything about that kind of work, you know that the burnout rate can be pretty high. After 23 years, I was done. And I remember standing in my office completely overwhelmed, and I found myself crying out to the Lord for help. I could sense God's presence in the room, and I knew it was time to retire. Even though I had planned to work a couple more years, I had to work some things out financially, but the Lord worked them out for me, and I was able to retire. And it was shortly after that I was sitting in church, and God, I don't know exactly what he did, but I felt like, I started sobbing is what I did. And I realized that he was calling me into ministry. And when I think back on that now, it was just, all along I knew that it was maybe going to happen eventually. It wasn't a total surprise, but I went up to the front after the service was over, and I told my pastor, I said, I think I've been called into ministry to serve the Lord. And he said, it's not a surprise. I'm not surprised, he said. So the one thing that really bothered me about working in social services is, yes, I was helping people, and that was gratifying to be able to do that, but I couldn't share my faith. And so my director came by my office one day, and she saw that I had a Bible on my shelf. And she said, you know, I think you really need to put that Bible away because someone might get offended. And I thought to myself, no, you're the one that's offended. But anyway, and I did put it away. I put it in my drawer right beside me so I could grab it when I could close my door and have some private time. I had to get out of the boat. I had to take the first step to have faith in God, that he would see me through the ministry journey. And going back to school required, it was an eye-opening experience. I was 60 years old, going back to school, trying to learn computers, talking with people that were at least 30 years younger than me a lot of times. I don't know how I did it, except it was the grace of God that did it for me, because I got through all the requirements, all the classes, all the interviews, everything that was required. And I think about that time and, how I grew. It was hard, and life goes on. You know, I had a family, I have 3 children, and 6 grandchildren at that time, and life goes on. You want to be with your family and do things with them, and I can't remember the times that they were all asleep when we were even on vacation, and I was up doing papers in the middle of the night. But anyway, my point is, God gave me what I needed. I had to step out of the boat first. I was ordained on April the 8th, 2018. And the gift that they gave me is on the table down here. It's a statue of Jesus putting his hand on Peter's shoulder as he's gotten out of the boat. I love this. And for a long time, This was given to me, actually, at my ordination and by Dr. Busick. But I think ENC actually gave all the ordinands one of these that year. I assume they're still doing that. I don't know for sure. But anyway, I kept it in a cabinet because I wanted to keep it safe. But I thought one day as I was dusting in there, I said, why do I have this in my cabinet? This should be a reminder to me to get out of the boat and to try new things and explore new ministries. So I brought it out, and I brought it here for you today, for you to see. Maybe it might inspire you to get out of the boat. We talk about wanting miracles, wanting to do great things for Christ. However, we don't want to sacrifice the comfort or the safety of our boat. But it can happen. Miracles are risky. They defy what we would believe is the usual order of things. But if we get out of the boat, we may be denying a miracle to happen. Often our faith doesn't make sense to those who are sitting beside the boat. But think about this. A baby born to a virgin. An empty tomb. Choosing death in order to live. Think of all the miracles that Jesus did. They didn't make sense to the people that were around, but he did it. They just don't make human sense, and it sure doesn't make sense to step out of a perfectly good boat in the middle of a storm. But there stands Jesus outside the boat, making no sense, standing on top of the water, sending Peter, what could have been Davy Jones' locker. Does anybody know what that is? It's a place at the bottom of the sea where sailors and travelers go for their final destination. Jesus doesn't come to us in the way we would expect, safely rowing up in another boat. That would make sense. But he's walking on water. And instead of leaping into the boat with us, he's saying, how's it going, guys? He stops outside the boat, standing on the water, and calls Peter to come. Jesus doesn't chide the others for staying in the boat, but later, it is Peter who wins the prize, to whom Jesus says in Matthew 16:18, you are the rock on which I will build my church. The church was founded, on the one who dared to get out of the boat. I'm not talking about taking risk for adventure or putting what God has given us in jeopardy, but Peter takes an incredible risk in getting out of the boat on a dark and stormy night. The key here is he doesn't put out the first toe until Jesus says, come. If Jesus is not anywhere near our boat, we would be crazy to walk on water. However, I did have a cousin who tried to ski on his bare feet, so I don't know if that would be the same kind of thing. We just can't do that on our own, and when God appears on the scene, new possibilities open up before us, and we listen for the guidance of God. And if God says it's okay, that's our cue. We're not called to be reckless, but we are called to trust. The sad problem in our world is that we don't live by trust alone. And I find this really, really sad. Our watchwords today have to be words like protection, security, safe. Whether it's the government, law enforcement, healthcare, social programs, or financial investments, we hear those words as organizations describe their goals and objectives. We must protect our children, make sure Social Security funding is protected, we have safe schools, and make sure that our investments are secure. We have a whole branch of government now just devoted to homeland security. Now, please don't misunderstand me. There's nothing wrong with being safe. But when we let our concern for security and safety spill over into our faith can vanish and we can sink into the sea. Faith means nothing, nothing if it does not mean risk. Faith and trust go hand in hand, and that means so do faith and risk, because trust can be a risky business. When was the last time you got out of the boat? Or put it into terms that we are more familiar to us, got out of the box. You can tell me that you trust me to hold your money until you're blue in the face, but until you've actually put that money into my hands, you haven't really trusted. It's the same with faith. You can say, oh, I have faith in God, all you want. But until you're willing to get out of the boat, you may be denying yourself something wonderful that God has planned for you. Who among us likes disappointing our Father? There's nothing or no one more important than our faith in God. We memorize Philippians 4:13, which says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we can quote Matthew 19:26, with God, all things are possible. We say things again and again, and we sit comfortably in our boats. We may even call the ones who talk about getting out of the boat foolish and impractical. And we look at those who get out of the boat and we judge their lack of faith if they start to sink, completely unaware that even as they sink to the bottom of the sea, their faith is greater than ours. We have no business claiming we have any faith whatsoever until we have been willing to get out of the boat when Jesus calls. The call of God on all of us is now the same as it has been forever. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. The Great Commission is represented in this story of Peter. The church exists to make disciples, and the day we forget that, we cease to be a church and become a cruise liner, just trying to make sure that passengers are comfortable and have a good time. Getting out of the boat might mean a financial leap for a church to acquire property or a building, but it also might mean braving the road less traveled and following the example of many churches, both small and large, who do highly successful ministry free of the constraints and cost of property. God might be calling us to either possibility. It's our job to pray and listen to God's voice. It is only when Jesus is calling you out of the boat that you can successfully walk on water. Otherwise, it's just another harebrained idea that you'll sink like a rock. Now, maybe Jesus is standing outside the boat and calling you personally. When God called me into ministry, it was an incredibly scary step, but so far, I haven't sunk. I'm still on top of the water, and I'm still open to new ministries. Maybe God is calling you to a new ministry in the church, or a new job, or a new attitude. Now, I have to admit, I ask a lot of questions when God wants me to change my attitude, for sure. I like my old ones. They're safe. Could it be that God is calling you to something new? Maybe he's calling you to a better stewardship of your time and your money. Now, I know that's a touchy subject for a lot of people. Stewardship is always risky because we believe that if we give more, whether it's time or money, there just won't be enough left for ourselves. But I have found that when God directs me, there's always enough left over, whatever it is. Well, here's a scary thought. Maybe God is calling you to share your faith with someone else. Well, think about this. Has God ever helped you? Has prayer ever made your life more bearable? Have you ever found real comfort in your faith? This week, folks, real people right here in our midst and in our community, or the surrounding towns, will get frightening calls from their doctors. Some will learn they've lost a job. Some might realize their family is breaking up, or might recognize the early signs of Alzheimer's in someone else or themselves. It goes on, the list goes on. Some might ignore their children or exchange hurtful words with a friend and wonder how to make it right. Well, is it really fair to keep all the good news of our Father in the church walls and just hope that whoever needs it might just wander in? Now, I'm not one to bang people on the head with Bibles or threaten those made in God's image with the fires of hell. But I am one that believes that there is no better way to live life than with God. And my heart absolutely breaks for those who haven't figured that out yet. We all know people who need to hear and believe the good news, even in our families, even in my family. To make disciples is my calling. It's also the calling of everyone in the church, every one of you that bears the name of Jesus Christ. If you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat. A ship in a harbor is safe, but that's not what ships are built for. God calls us to set sail. And once we're out on the raging sea, we see God and some new possibilities. Jesus is on the water and bids you to come. Do you dare? God is patient with us when we can't seem to leave the comfort of our boat. But the church was built on Peter, the rock, not the others. If you listen carefully, you might just hear the voice of Jesus saying, come. If you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat. I just want to close with a poem that I found that kind of tells this whole story. It's written by John Newton, and it's called Peter Walking Upon the Water. A word from Jesus calms the sea, the stormy wind controls, and gives repose and liberty the tempest-tossed souls. To Peter on the waves he came and gave him instant peace. Thus he to me revealed his name and bid my sorrow cease. Then filled with wonder, joy, and love, Peter's request was mine. Lord, call me down. I long to prove that I am wholly thine. Unmoved at all I have to meet on life's tempestuous sea, hard shall it be easy, bitter, sweet, so I may follow thee. I heard and smiled and bid me try. I eagerly obeyed. But when from him I turned my eye, how was my soul dismayed? The storm increased on every side. I felt my spirit sink. And soon with Peter loud I cried, Lord, save me, or I sink. Kindly he held me by the hand and said, why dost thou fear? Since thou art come at my command, and am I always near? Upon my promise, rest thy hope, and keep my love in view. I stand engaged to hold thee up and guide thee safely through. Amen. Pray with me, please. Gracious Heavenly Father, give us courage. Give us faith. Give us all we need. Fill us with the capacity to take a chance. Help us to realize that we are all disciples for you. Give us, inspire us. We know that you will love us all the way through. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.